tuned in to Morning Edition on WHYY at 5:44. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Is your college student home for winter break? Are you catching up, listening to stories about favorite courses, inspiring professors, and campus life? A local social worker says that is all great, but if you're not hearing a peep about these things and what they've been up to, there may be cause for concern. Frank Greenagle specializes in addiction recovery. He teaches at the School of Social Work at the Center for Alcohol Studies at Rutgers University. We recently spoke about some things to watch out for pertaining to drug and alcohol use by undergrads, including trending drugs on college campuses.
I've been tracking this data for just about 10 years, and it's very clear that alcohol is still the king, but marijuana has continued to increase in its popularity, and that's a result of, you know, medicalization and legalization and the reduction of stigma. The number three is a runaway, and that's Adderall. And again, that's a result of not having much of a stigma. And then probably to no one's surprise, opiate and all their different derivatives is the number four most popular drug on college campuses across America.
I've read your blog, and I am troubled by what you say is an increasing use of opioids by college students. What would you say is a fair assessment of how wide a problem this is?
The problem is bigger than people can imagine. It's partly because the availability. The epidemic really sprung up with the proliferation of prescription pills. Students can get them for taking their wisdom teeth out, or if they've had some kind of surgery because they're an athlete on their knee or shoulder. But they also have access to, you know, parents or grandparents or other relatives' pills as well. And they're just not looked at the same way as illicit drugs. And so someone will return to campus and they'll have a bottle of pills, and they don't think of it as that dangerous because it's made by a multinational corporation in a pristine lab and prescribed by a doctor. And so basically it has the stamp of validation from many levels of society. I've dealt with students who've gotten a lot of legal trouble because they were selling the pills or sharing the pills on campus, and Oxycontin and even hydrocodone now, those are Schedule II drugs. And so if you share those pills or sell even one pill to someone on your floor down the hall, you're now a Schedule II drug dealer.
Let's go back to prescription-focused drugs. Adderall use is huge.
So Adderall use has been completely destigmatized, and this fall I was walking around campus on Rutgers coming back from one of the courses I taught. There were three young men outside talking about midterms, and one of them said that he had lots of papers to do and another couple of exams, but he took a couple of Adderall and he was able to plow through it. These stimulant drugs, whether it's Concerta, Ritalin, Vyvanse, Focalin, Nuvigil, or Adderall, which is the strongest of all those, they work not only with people that have ADHD, but they work on all humans. And so as a result, you're going to be able to concentrate more, sleep less, eat less, and get a little extra motivation. What you're finding is that even top students in difficult majors are doing this. Adderall is clearly the most abused drug with lots of short and long-term psychological and physiological issues.
Information universities have about use and or abuse is really hard to get.
You know, that data is almost never being tracked. You know, these kind of numbers fall through the cracks, and so it's only when we have kind of national surveys. There's a group out of Ohio State called Generation X, which tracked, you know, prescription drug abuse on campus. They have some interesting numbers that people can look up, but for the most part, it's not reported, and partly it's in schools' economic interest to not do that. No school wants to be known as the opiate school or the alcohol school or the Adderall school.
If you're a parent of a college student home on winter break now, what could be a sign of trouble?
There's a couple things you should look at. Has there been a marked change in their appearance? And I don't mean did your daughter dye her hair or did your son grow a beard. And I'm not even too concerned about, you know, changes in style or clothing, like if someone became a goth or a punk. But was there a noticeable weight change, either weight gain or more likely weight decrease? That's a significant sign. Another one is, when they're home, are they talking about what they studied? Was there a professor or topic that engaged them? If they are talking about that, that's a really good sign that they're getting a lot out of school. If, on the other hand, they kind of remind you of the teenage years where there's kind of monosyllabic answers and school is fine and they're not talking about any kind of classes or activities that interest them, that's kind of problematic because that interest has to go somewhere. I was telling you when we talked earlier today about a young man who went off to a university out west. He was enrolled in an Army ROTC program. And this is a young man who, since the age of 9, knew that he wanted to do the military and eventually go into law enforcement. And in the fall of his freshman year, he dropped out of the ROTC program. Giving up something that is of huge value to an individual is a big sign that there is a possible substance use disorder and or mental health disorder going on.
Just to sum it up, what's a first step toward remaining a student by addressing a drug health crisis?
The first step is recognizing that there's a problem. And it's great if the student themselves can recognize it. Parents or friends, I really recommend going to a couple of Al-Anon meetings. Al-Anon is for the friends, family members, or romantic partners of someone who has a drug or alcohol problem. And you can hear the stories of people who are similar to you or are much further along. Outside of Philadelphia in Hamilton, New Jersey, there's a program called City of Angels that does intervention work with families. And they'll work with families for hours before they even engage in such intervention work, because the families need to be prepared for the emotional blowback that comes when you confront someone, regardless of age, about their alcohol and drug problem.
Frank Greenagle specializes in addiction recovery. He teaches at the School of Social Work at Rutgers University. He lists important resources on his website. It's greenagle.com. That's green, A-G-E-L.com.